The Guardian. This edition of Chips with Everything is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace offers a unique domain experience that's fully transparent and simple to set up. And there's also award-winning 24/7 customer support. See for yourself. Head to squarespace.com and enter the offer code CHIPS to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
This episode of Chips with Everything is also brought to you by Get Into Teaching. Teaching is a career that allows you to make a real difference to young people's lives, and it's a great way to make your degree, skills and knowledge really count. By sharing your passion for physics, chemistry and biology with the next generation, you could get £25,000 tax-free to train, subject to availability, selected subjects only. To find out more, search Get Into Teaching and register for tailored advice to start your teaching career, or head to getintoteaching.education.gov.uk.
I have been authorized by the Department of Justice to confirm that the FBI, as part of our counterintelligence mission, is investigating the Russian government's efforts to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. And that includes investigating the nature of any links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government, and whether there was any coordination between the campaign and Russia's efforts.
It seems everywhere you look these days, there's talk of Russian hacking and the much-discussed allegation that Russia interfered in the U.S. election. Are we facing some kind of new cyber Cold War? Or could there be more to the story? Annie Machon is a former British intelligence officer and a whistleblower, and on our show this week, she tells us a lot of good reasons that you might not want to believe everything you hear. The climate these days is ripe for conspiracy theories and misinformation, and it's getting so much harder to trust our intelligence agencies. It seems like it might be a good time to at least think about what evidence of a hack is really out there, where the information is primarily coming from, and who benefits if indeed these allegations are true.
Yeah, my name's Annie Machon. I'm a former MI5 intelligence officer, became a whistleblower, now a media commentator, a writer, and a public speaker.
We asked Annie where these allegations of Russian hacking originated and how we've gotten to this point in the story.
A whole tsunami of fake intelligence and fake information seems to have erupted over the last year about how the Russians might have hacked the American election. But if you look at it chronologically, it started with a diversionary tactic when the DNC, Democratic National Congress, computers were hacked. And this was actually trailed by the Democrats to try and prevent people focusing on the Hillary Clinton email server breach of security. And then it sort of morphed into, well, they'd hacked the elections, they hacked the Podesta files, they hacked the voting computers, they hacked the electricity grid, for God's sakes. And there is no proof whatsoever about any of it whatsoever, all the way through. Nothing. And the much touted combined intelligence estimate that came out at the beginning of this year is full of assertions. It's not even that every single agency is agreeing with it. I mean, the CIA seems to be the prime mover. So they said, absolutely, yes, we are, you know, very certain that there's been hacking. The FBI initially refused to back that up, and then some political pressure was put on them after Comey had tried to out Hillary Clinton ahead of the elections. So they fell into line. And the NSA still says to this day that their assessment of hacking is that it's moderate, which means it's plausible, but they've got no evidence whatsoever it actually happened. So all of this swelled from an initial DNC leak to the Russians hacked the whole American elections. And now the Russians are going to hack the Dutch elections. They're going to hack the French, Germany. They might have hacked Brexit, for God's sakes. And that's how crazy it gets. And the whole thing was sort of embedded into fact just after Christmas, when then-President Obama expelled 35 Russian diplomats from America. So that actually made it look like the Russians had indeed done something. But there's still no evidence. And we have expert after expert coming out of the intelligence agencies in the USA, not least the former technical director of the NSA itself, a guy called Bill Binney, who has actually gone on the record and said very clearly, if this did indeed happen, if the Russians did this, the NSA would have proof coming out of its ears. Where is the proof? There is no proof. So it's been fascinating and appalling in equal measure to watch how this fake news has become new reality, post-truth reality.
So lots of this dialogue on Russian hacking conjures up the specter of digital cowboys burrowing right into the ballot box, manipulating the results themselves. But the reality is that there are actually all kinds of out-in-the-open techniques, like bots that spread propaganda or misinformation on social media, that can constitute interference without getting into the realm of hacking.
No, I'm sure that the Russians do create botnets. They do what they call astroturfing, you know, so it's not grassroots campaigns. It's fake grassroots campaigns. But it's not just the Russians. The Israelis have been doing it for well over a decade. The UK does it. The US does it. Every country does it. But it's only the Russians that get blamed for doing this. That's the crazy thing. So, yes, that does go on. However, to counterbalance that, if I could take you back to the prop or not scandal at the end of last year. So this was this shady website that emerged, apparently put up by concerned but anonymous citizens who had great expertise. We don't know who they are to this day. And they came out with a list of 200 fake news sites so that we should all be terribly aware that we mustn't believe anything we read on these news sites. Now, these include incredibly credible but independent American news sites. They also include state-level news sites, including RT, which is always lambasted as the Kremlin's mouthpiece. Well, yes, it's funded to a certain extent by the Russian state, like the BBC is funded to a certain extent by the British state, or Fox News by all sorts of hideous things. So all these media outlets have a certain angle and a certain axe to grind. They will all do that. Why one is worse than the others, I don't know. So Prop or Not created this huge scandal. It was reported in the Washington Post, which, of course, made its name back in the 70s by exposing Watergate, and now is peddling all this fake information. And one of the interesting things, and I'm not saying there's any causality here, but there is a certain correlation. One of the interesting things was that in 2013, the Washington Post was bought by a man called Jeff Bezos, who is the owner of Amazon. And he purchased it. He did this massive segue into the old media for a sum of, I think, $250 million. And then, strangely enough, in the same year, he was offered the chance of working with the CIA to create their cloud-based computing. And this was a deal that was worth $600 million over a period of 10 years. Now, roll forward a few years, suddenly all 17 of the American intelligence agencies are going to be working with Amazon. So God knows how much this deal is going to be worth to Bezos. So we have this guy who is creaming it in financially from the American intelligence state. He owns the Washington Post. The Washington Post seems to be the prime mouthpiece for all these strange intelligence leaks, all these attacks against the Russians, for, you know, giving credibility to Prop or Not, for putting out fake intelligence about the Russians hacked the electricity grid in Vermont or whatever, which has all proved to be wrong. So I don't know, but it's an interesting coincidence, shall we say, in terms of the newspaper ownership and what they're doing.
So who is actually making these allegations? There's talk, but which agencies are actually willing to go on the record?
Well, only three have actually gone on the record. The CIA has been the sort of, you know, the tub thumper about this whole thing. Yes, of course, it's all credible. The FBI was initially reluctant to put its name to it. But then Comey was put under pressure after he'd said he was reinvestigating Hillary Clinton because of her servers, blah, 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 before the election. So he fell into line. The NSA, which is like our GCHQ, has only said it's moderate. So it's plausible it could happen, but they've got no proof it had. And that's it. We don't know what all these other intelligence agencies thought. Bear in mind that the Director of National Intelligence under Obama, who stood down when President Trump took power, was a man called James Clapper, who has been caught out misleading congressional and senatorial hearings under oath time and time again, and yet would actually refused to go and give evidence about this Russian hacking before he stood down. He was requested to by all these committees. He would not do it.
So if this did start as some kind of smokescreen thrown up by the losing Democrats in America, then why does the dialogue continue under this new Republican administration with Donald Trump?
Now, I think there's a major problem because, of course, Trump said all the way through his electioneering, and I have no brief for Trump, and I would not want to be an American living in America under his presidency. However, one of the things I did think was good was while he was campaigning, he said he wanted to do deals with the Russians. You know, we don't want nuclear war. We don't want this everlasting tension. We actually would like just to make peace and get on with stuff and deal with the real threats to us, such as ISIS, which, you know, being in London today, of all places, is a very credible threat. It's not a fake, overhyped threat, which is what Russia is at the moment. And the CIA particularly cannot afford to allow that to happen. There is this huge military-industrial security complex, which has always been there in America. President Eisenhower warned about it back in the 1960s, but has now become incredibly powerful since 9/11. And they can't afford not to have an ongoing enemy. So yes, ISIS is being defeated gradually in the Middle East, particularly because of the Russian influence, actually. Al-Qaeda is sort of receded. They need some excuse to carry on buying all the weapons, selling all the weapons, increasing the security surveillance, taking away all our civil liberties. Russia is the perfect enemy. So for Trump to say he wanted to cut a deal with Putin, he admired Putin's strongman tactics, whatever, that would be a threat to the deep state in America. So either, I think the CIA initially hoped that they could effect some sort of deep state coup and impeach Trump even before he was inaugurated, get rid of him, get, you know, Pence in power. Or now they probably feel that they've boxed him in so much with all these allegations that Trump will be very wary of being seen to be soft on Russia. And I think that's why it's ongoing.
When we come back, we talk to former MI5 agent, whistleblower, and author Annie Machon about the implications of the hacking allegations and whether we can trust our intelligence agencies at all these days.
Create a beautiful website with Squarespace's all-in-one platform. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade, ever. Try it for yourself. Head to squarespace.com and enter the offer code CHIPS to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. Squarespace. Make your next move. Make your next website.
Hey, CHIPS fans. Take a listen to the Guardian Books podcast this week, a literary delve into all things interesting around the world. This week, it's all about Mohsin Hamid, famous for The Reluctant Fundamentalist. His new novel, Exit West, is a fascinating exploration of how people migrate. Plus, he spells out his thesis on why there's a need in today's world for radical optimism. That's the Guardian Books Podcast, your weekly dose of all things literary.
If your mattress is more than 8 years old, then its best days are probably behind it. But shopping for a new mattress is such a pain, right? Well, Lisa's here to change all that. No more showrooms, no more commission-driven salesmen, no more delivery people with muddy boots lugging it up your stairs. The Lisa is a luxury mattress with three unique foam layers to help you stay cool and comfortable and wake up totally refreshed. You can try your new Lisa for 100 nights completely risk-free, and if you don't love your new mattress, Lisa will pick it up and arrange for a full refund. Check out the range for yourself at lisa.co.uk/guardian and get £80 off your new mattress by entering the offer code GUARDIAN80 at the checkout. That's lesa.co.uk/guardian. The Lisa mattress, a better place to sleep.
Welcome back to Chips with Everything. I'm your host, Lee Alexander, and we have Annie Machon in the studio giving us her perspective on what she sees as a relatively insubstantial case for Russian hacking in the U.S. So now, as an American, I gotta say, given its own history of interfering in outcomes in governments abroad, at least those that we know about, I hesitate to buy the CIA's version of events on anything. How much can we trust our intelligence agencies these days?
I think it's becoming increasingly difficult for any of us living in the West to trust our intelligence agencies. We are told that there is meaningful oversight by our governments. There is not. These spies lie repeatedly and get away with it. There is no accountability. Those who try and blow the whistle are the ones who are thrown in prison, not the people who actually commit the crimes on the inside. So it's very difficult to trust, I think, at the moment. Also, as well, you know, just to go back over Russia is interfering with our elections. Well, think about what the CIA's done over the last 60 years. You know, the overthrow of President Mossadegh in Iran, President Allende in Chile, 73.
Nicaragua.
Yeah, all of them. I mean, where'd you stop? Not least as well, 1996, where the American administration was gloatingly proud of the fact that they had actually interfered with the Russian presidential election to keep their man Yeltsin in power in 1996. That was all over the national media at the time. So this sheer hypocrisy of what the CIA has done and continues to do, and then to turn it around and say, oh no, it's all about Russia, is incredible. And of course, the other aspect of it is it gives a wonderful diversion away from all the stuff that's come out over the last few years about American intelligence. You know, the Snowden disclosures, the war crimes Chelsea Manning exposed, the recent WikiLeaks Vault 7, which showed how the CIA itself was stockpiling cyber weapons and stockpiling zero-day vulnerabilities. And now, of course, they've lost control of this huge arsenal of weaponry. It's out there in the wild, and it's being used by all sorts of bad people, not just the CIA.
Now, what about the role of WikiLeaks here? Is it possible they have an agenda of their own?
I don't think WikiLeaks has a particular political agenda, apart from to get to the truth and to hold our governments to account. That's my understanding. I've, you know, over the years, had quite a lot of dealings with them. I would trust what Julian Assange said when the DNC leaks happened. And he never talks about sources, and he wouldn't identify the source for that either. But he did say very clearly it was not a state actor. Also, there was a UK ambassador called Craig Murray who said, actually, it was a leak when he was given that information. He's a WikiLeaks ally, and that's how it got to WikiLeaks. So there is, again, no evidence. In fact, there's evidence against what the CIA is trying to allege.
If we can imagine a scenario where Vladimir Putin is innocent, or at least innocent of somehow orchestrating this hack, what would this ongoing conspiracy mean for US-Russia relations?
Putin is probably thinking, oh, shit. there is a great chance to build a proper working relationship, you know, to have a more balanced multipolar world. You know, it's very clear that Trump is being boxed in by the powers that be, you know, the Washington consensus, the deep state, whatever you want to call it. It's, I think, a wasted opportunity. It's really sad.
So then could this whole cyber Cold War thing be just needlessly inflated?
I think that the cyber war is the new front line of any war. There's no doubt about that. Unfortunately, it's a bit like, you know, if we have a country with nuclear weapons, like America has nuclear weapons, and they suddenly lose a great arsenal of these nuclear weapons, and who knows whose hands they've fallen into? Terrorists, criminals, whatever. And that's effectively what's happened, where they lost control of the Vault 7 material. They've unleashed this incredibly damaging arsenal of weapons, which can be used, abused, mutated, and used back against them as well. Also, of course, it's interesting to note with the Vault 7 material that they had a lot of material they'd stolen from the Russians, so they can make any hack look like it's done by Russia, not by them. You know, that might be what we're seeing as well. So they can blame the Russians for whatever they choose to do, or that's what they're hoping to do. Now they've lost control of it, who knows?
One important thing Annie told us was just because something looks like it comes from Russia doesn't mean it does. It's possible that someone else could have attempted to make it look like Russian interference when it might not be at all. What kind of agendas are operating out there right now?
In terms of the cyber weapons the CIA released, which make it look like the Russians are doing something, apparently there was an attack on a bank. I only saw the headlines as I was travelling today. There was an attack on a bank by hackers who made it look as if it was the Russians, but apparently it wasn't. So it might have been one of these weapons out there. It's similar to something called the Stuxnet virus that was released a few years ago to attack the centrifuges in the Iranian domestic nuclear production programme. And this was apparently a dual initiative by both the Americans and by the Israelis. And so this worked, it halted production, but now it's out there. The Stuxnet virus is out there. It's in the wild and it's mutating. It's being used and adapted by criminals and hackers and whoever else. And that's how dangerous it is to let these weapons get out there.
So with this issue, as well as so many others in the current political climate, the more informed we are, it often feels like the harder it is to know what to believe. How can we separate the noise from the facts and avoid getting drawn into conspiracy theories?
Well, I would certainly suggest don't believe Facebook and Yahoo and Google and all the rest of them, who are now apparently aggressively censoring what they're going to call fake news, or their algorithms will. Who's writing those algorithms? You know, it's a mass corporation, which has very close links to all the state players as well. I think the only advice I can give is, you know, read around. Don't trust one news source. Don't trust one TV channel, radio, whatever it is. Read around as much as you can. Follow the links and make up your own mind. That's all you can do in this day and age.
Thanks so much to Annie Machon for coming on the show. It was a fascinating new way to think about a clearly very complicated issue. You can learn more about Annie's extensive work at her website, AnnieMachon, MACHON.CH. Once again, I'm your host, Lee Alexander. My producer is Ian Chambers, and we're so glad you joined us for Chips with Everything this week. If you like our show, please consider giving us a rating on iTunes. It helps people find out about us, and we really appreciate that. You can subscribe to Chips with Everything or to any of our other quality Guardian podcasts on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. That's all for this week. We'll see you next time.
For more great podcasts from The Guardian, just go to theguardian.com/podcasts.